I don't know about you, but I can still recall my first speeding ticket.
That was your first one.
That was a good one. Mine happened right out here with Ralph Johnson. He got me. It's coming down the hill, going too fast. I don't know, I was probably 17 years old, something like that. He comes up to the door. I roll down the window and he says, "You know how fast you were going?" And I was just mortified. And he tried to show some mercy on me, but I still got a ticket. It left an impression on me. And now all the subsequent tickets haven't been as difficult. Rules are tough sometimes, you know. There are some interesting laws out there on the books. I don't know if you've seen any of them that are kind of interesting. For instance, in Alaska, did you know that flamingos are not allowed in barbershops? It's on the books. Do not bring a flamingo into a barbershop in Alaska. In California, spitting is only permitted on baseball diamonds. Now, Maine has a really good and practical one that you immediately see the consequences if you did not follow it. It is prohibited to step out of a plane in mid-flight. Maryland also has a good one. It's not permitted to take a lion to the movies. Nevada, no camels allowed on highways. I don't know where that came from. And you've all broken a law. Well, not all of you, but some of you have broken a law this morning already in North Carolina. If you sang off key, even in the slightest, you have committed a crime. So watch out if you're going to church in North Carolina. People in general don't really like rules, do they? We have that phrase, "Oh, rules may be broken," right? Even if you walk into a sort of a type A introvert who really seems to love the rules, generally they only like their own rules anyways. And you know, we in New England tend to be pretty fiercely independent, and we rebel against the notion of someone else's rules being imposed upon us, or even someone else's help, or even someone else's advice, when extended with the most gracious and open hand. We have those silly laws, and some of those don't make sense, but some of them you can see a reason for. And the Lord gives us guidelines for living. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. Some of our scriptures are about that today. I don't know if you caught it in the psalm, and certainly in the gospel there's some interesting stuff there that we're going to take a look at today. As Christians, we often find ourselves living in this tension of being pulled by our own desires and our own will one way, and at the same time, being called by the Spirit of God to submit to His leadership and His rules and His help and His righteous decrees. It's kind of a tough place to be sometimes. Sometimes you can boil it down to that moment of temptation between sin or honoring God with our thoughts or our actions. Sometimes it's not so black and white as that. Sometimes it's, well, you know, I'd really like to do this, but I probably, to honor the Lord, should do this. I don't know if anybody can identify with that. It happens to me all the time. I haven't arrived, even though I have this. Okay. God's law is not there as a divine killjoy. He's not trying to ruin your party. He knows what's ultimately good and what ultimately will fill you with lasting joy. And all of His guidelines and all of His rules and everything that He's given to us is there because God wants His ultimate best for us. In the Old Testament lesson today, we've got the Israelites, and they're poised to just about enter the promised land. Okay, so they've been through lots of time in the desert, and they've been wandering around, they've been experiencing God's judgment, and you know, they're starting to get ready for moving into the land that God has for them. And there's not much that's vague about what's said in the Old Testament lesson. I want to remind us of it. It says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity." Pretty clear. Black and white. In that respect, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. It's pretty clear what's being said there. There's a choice to be made. There's a choice between good and evil. There's a choice between life and death. Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly, and God wants us to make the choice for life. And that means sacrificing our desires that might want to go in another direction. You know, it's challenging to live in this world and in this life when it seems like things are tending in a certain direction. The tide is going this way, but the Spirit of God is pulling this way. Can you swim against that tide on your own? Most definitely not. However, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, with the help of the Lord, there is not one thing that cannot be overcome in this world and in this life. We are invited to choose. Sometimes folks think that when I become a Christian, when I start following Jesus, it's going to be easy street. No problem, right? All the issues are going to be taken care of. My relationships will all be perfect. There will never be any strife. I will never have any hard decisions, and no calamity will befall me. Wrong. The beauty of following Christ is, even though this life has all kinds of challenges and things and stuff that happen to us, we don't go through it alone or on our own strength. We go through it with the presence of Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the knowledge that, as Billy Graham said, we know what happens in the end. Billy Graham said, "I've read the last page of the Bible. I know what's there." We know who wins. It doesn't end in death. It ends in resurrection. And no matter what happens between now and then, resurrection is the goal. Resurrection is the end, and not death. Sometimes society and culture decides that the commandments of the Lord are right, but if the correct conditions are met, then they can be broken. We can sort of tick these and leave these. We say, well, these times have changed, so we're going to modify these things that God said to be more appropriate for our times today. And what God says must change, and God has to change too. That's not really the nature of God, though. We read in the scriptures that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I actually take comfort in the fact that something in this life is not changeable. You know, to be able to actually rest on something as the standard for right and wrong, and for truth and untruth, for justice, that's really good, because that means that no one with a special interest can change something that God has said. It's really actually a freeing thing, as opposed to something that creates constraints on my life. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, talks about it a little bit this way. He says, "Sin is a fundamental relationship. It is not wrongdoing, but wrongdoing. It is deliberate and determined independence from God. A man cannot redeem himself. Redemption is the work of God." Going back to the psalm, Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. I don't know if my children delight in the no shoes rule, or any number of other rules in our house like that. But it's there for a good reason. And the psalmist goes on to say, and they meditate on his law day and night. They value God's input into their lives so much that they pay attention to it all the time and want it to permeate their lives and their decisions. They're going out and they're coming in. And the result is found in verse 3. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. I would like to be that tree. I don't want to be found in that desert place because I made a choice to walk away from what God has said. Even if I find something uncomfortable, or if I find something, maybe I wish it was different, I have to trust in His wisdom. Higher than mine. His understanding is higher than mine. And I can't put myself in his spot and say, well, you're wrong. This is the way I think it should be. The psalm goes on and says, therefore the wicked shall not stand when the judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Judgment. There's a word for us today. Right? Yeah. That's one that makes us uncomfortable sometimes. You know, some people like to skip over that part. And does that one have a positive or a negative connotation in your mind? I don't know. I don't like being judged. Do you? Sometimes the words are uttered in our house. Mom, he's judging me. God's judgments are different from man's judgments, though. It's a completely different thing. God's judgments are non-subjective. They are not hypocritical. They are pure. And they are just. The law of God endures forever. It stands to all eternity. It's not temporary. It's not decaying. It's not going to pass away. It stands firm. It will stand forever. It's comforting to have that in place. And we know that there is a standard. Gospel lesson today is a challenging word. I don't know if you heard it, because it went by quickly. This occurs just after Jesus had performed some works on the Sabbath, and people were upset with him, but he had impressed so many people with what was happening that now we pick up in Luke chapter 14, it says, now large crowds were traveling with Jesus. So after all this upsetting he's done on the Sabbath and healing people and delivering people and these good things he's done, he's got a bunch of people that are following him around. Why wait and see what he's going to do next? I mean, wouldn't you? That's impressive. And then Jesus says these words, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself cannot be my disciple. Now, I thought about skipping this today and just letting it go by and hoping you didn't hear it. But I think, no, not really. I think it bears commenting on to help us understand a little bit what's going on here. Jesus is, again, talking about choices. We've been talking about choices today in the message. The scriptures talk about choices, choosing good or evil, death or life, the law of the Lord, the law of the world and the culture. What are you going to choose? Following Christ requires us to make a choice almost moment by moment, decision by decision. Who will we serve? Who will we follow? The word hate in the gospel lesson today sounds offensive because when we think about the word hate, it has a certain cultural context to us today, doesn't it? It's a little bit different. This word hate in the original language is more related to allegiance. Where does your allegiance lie? It goes back to making those choices. I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, there were two ladies, Rachel and Leah, sisters, right? And one was the beloved preferred wife, and the other one got slipped in to the groom at the last minute, probably because he was drunk, but... and it says that he hated Leah. But that original language refers to that he had an allegiance to Rachel. He loved Rachel with all of his heart, with everything that was in him. And that's where his allegiance was lying. And that's what Christ is challenging us to in the gospel lesson today. It's about choices. It's about where does our allegiance lie. Does it lie with earthly relationships? Does it lie with our possessions? Or does our allegiance lie with following Christ and with making those perhaps difficult choices? So Jesus asks us to make a commitment. He demands commitment. Commitment is also an unpopular word these days. Everybody's so overcommitted, right? You have one more thing that on your plate. But remember, Jesus says that his burden is light. Now, we are tempted often in the church, in the interest of filling pews, to promise a Lexus and a Rolex to everyone that follows Jesus. There are churches out there that are packed with people because that is what is preached. We are tempted to not challenge people to faithful stewardship and faithful worship, to faithful sexuality, to honest business practices, to accurate tax returns. We are tempted to not challenge people to have compassion for the less fortunate and maybe other costly commitments that are out there. And we hope that if we don't ask too much of people, that visitors will come back. Don't scare them off. We hope that we'll be able to make the gospel cushy enough that people will hang around. The cushy gospel is not the true gospel. And the funny thing is, it's kind of ironic, but the churches with high standards attract folks that want to make commitment to the Lord. There's something there. Their integrity and their commitment then draws others, and soon their pews begin to fill. Jesus does not offer the easy payment plan. He never tries to disguise the cost of discipleship. He makes it perfectly clear in the gospel lesson today. And he writes the price tag large for everyone to see. Following Christ and living according to God's best requires that we make a choice. The beautiful thing is we don't have to do it in our own strength. If it sounds daunting, it's because it is, but we have the Creator of the universe living within us, leading us into truth, guiding us, empowering us, and strengthening us for whatever he calls us to in this life. And we are invited to choose the Lord, to focus our attention on his authority, to remember his nearness. And just as the Israelites stepped out of the desert into the promised land, we are asked to step out in faith each day into relationships with family and friends that are challenging, into the tasks of the day, into the world around us. And as we go, we are invited to walk in the Lord's love and keep his commandments, receive his blessings, and to shine the light of Jesus on those around us.